We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. That was a righteous bump, man. That was B.B. King and Eric Clapton, right?
That's right.
Sweet. Yeah, that's wow. I was just sitting there jamming and then realized I think you're supposed to talk in the microphone.
Go on and talk anytime. It's all good.
Wow. Penny from Athens. I'm not sure if I need to read all this or not. Penny from Athens says, my brother tossed some cherry bombs in a metal trash can at Grandma's, and when it blew up, my hypochondriac Uncle Carl basically says he soiled himself. I'm telling you, man, cherry bombs in M80s, they were legit. You can do some damage. You can do some damage. All right. Hey, listen, let's jump in. You guys keep texting if you want to. I'll read them as we go. But I'm gonna jump into this first piece here, the SCOTUS aftermath. I mean, liberals' heads are exploding right now. Like, can you hear it? That's a sound. That's not fireworks. That's liberal heads exploding all over the United States. And it's gotten to be like the rhetoric coming out of this has been next level. And so, like, I'm going to run down some of this for you. Like, for instance, the student loan payoff, which, by the way, I'm going to cover that more later in the second part of the Triple Dipper, equity versus responsibility, when liberals try to help you by making sure you have no sense of personal responsibility. Well, that's what they want right now. And the reactions to this have been... Well, first of all, I seem to recall when the Obergefell decision came out and same-sex marriage was made the law of the land, the Supreme Court was the hero, lauded by the left. This is a new day. Wonderful people, we love you. You're wonderful. Or how about, when John Roberts, appointed by George Bush, sided with the liberals and upheld Obamacare? Ain't nobody saying nothing about that, were they? Anyway, progressives, it says here, this is post-millennial. By the way, all of the resources are up. You can go check them out. If you want to see one of these articles, you go to our website, rightsideradio.org. You click on the live streams page, and you got like the video, you've got the audio streams, and you've got a button that says resources. If you hear me rattling paper, there's a link to it. You can get all the resources, read them yourself, forward them to somebody, whatever you want to do. Liberals melt down after Supreme Court strikes down student loan forgiveness, demand that Biden use every tool available to relieve debt. Yeah, so here's an example. This is on the student loan payoff thing, which, by the way, why is that okay? I just want to remind everybody, this was not about being fair for hardworking young Americans who don't know how to pay their bills. You know what this really was? It's about people that signed up for a loan that don't want to have to pay it back. That's what it is. It's a contract. Where else in the world are you allowed to just pretend that contract didn't happen? Well, Democrat candidate for president Marianne Williamson, boy, she's a hoot. She declared that if she was elected president, I will expand the court because presidents can do that all by themselves. I will expand the court to get around the latest SCOTUS rulings. She says, as president, I will expand the court if necessary. Nothing in the Constitution says it's limited to 9 justices. We must also introduce ethics rules for SCOTUS and consider term limits. Our current SCOTUS has gone rogue and Okay, first of all, lady, I think you need to go read the Constitution because I don't think there's anywhere in there that says that you as president are allowed to expand the court. Now, if you can get the House and the Senate together to agree it's a good idea to expand it, and then you nominate them, well, okay. But it doesn't just work unilaterally. How about this one? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, our young hyphenated barista who made it into Congress. She says, it's very important to note this SCOTUS ruling does not remove Biden's ability to pursue student loan forgiveness. The Biden admin can use the Higher Ed Act. That's our position from the start. But to continue loan forgiveness. In other words, what she's saying is, well, let's find another way. Because we can't let people wallow in the debt they created for themselves. Wow. Fellow squad member Cori Bush also called on Biden to use every tool available. Senator Elizabeth Warren. Pray tell, what could Pocahontas have said? Senator Elizabeth Warren claimed that POTUS, that's the president, still has the tools he can use to cancel student loan debt. She says, quote, the Supreme Court that overturned Roe now refuses to follow the plain language of the law on student loan cancellation. I think it's just the opposite of what she just said. I think the lady who lied on her application to college and somehow survives that to serve in the U.S. Senate, I think she's got it wrong. I'm pretty sure what happened was the court ruled in a 6-3 ruling that, oh, by the way, this ain't the way the Constitution reads. The laws of the land do not allow this. That's what exactly they said. Her words, more than 40 million hardworking Americans are waiting for help that President Biden promised. That's the problem. He got out there. He made a promise that he didn't have the right to make, and the courts have smacked him around for it. That's exactly what's happened. And here's the thing. If they are 40 million hardworking Americans, then I'm questioning why they can't pay their own bills. Now, I get it. There are times when situations happen. I've been there before. You lose a job. You know, there's a downturn in the economy. Inflation's high. Things get tough. I get it. That's not what this is. This ain't that. This is people being given a pass. This is people being given a bailout. And of those 40 million, I bet less than 10% would tell you they have financial hardships related to their student loans. Do they have debt to pay back? Yes. Do they not get to take a vacation? Maybe. Do they have to curtail the amount of times they'll eat out so they can pay their own bills? Isn't that what people do? They had to buy a lesser car. It was just, you know, we wanted to live in a bigger house. You signed up for a student loan. Now you have to pay it. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer accused the court of hypocrisy. He says, as justices accept lavish six-figure gifts. No, they don't. What hyperbole. And oh, by the way, where have you been, Schumer? How long have you been in office? I mean, you've been in office so long that you don't even remember the days when you weren't in office. Since Methuselah was a child, we've had you in office. And yet all of a sudden, today, we got to do something, these hypocrite justices. Yeah, you didn't say that when you had the majority or the plurality on the court in the liberal side, did you? And then the last one I'll give you, well, last couple. Jamal Bowman, congressman from New York. This has demolished the possibility of financial freedom for 43 million. Financial freedom is when you pay off your bills. Representative Pramila Jayapal, she called for the court to be expanded, stating that extreme MAGA Republicans, see, somebody had to find MAGA. Somebody had to find them some MAGA. Got to serve up a hot dish of MAGA before you can move on. Pramila Jayapal called for the court to be expanded, stating that extreme MAGA Republicans and the right-wing Supreme Court majority fought to take the relief away. The relief was never there. You can't take away what is not supposed to be. You can't take away what never truly existed. All you can do is say, he made a promise he couldn't keep. He got out ahead of his skis. He's a knucklehead. And he should have listened to his financial advisors and his political advisors. And oh, by the way, his constitutional lawyers. Nonetheless, so this is a complete meltdown. By the way, so much of a meltdown. Hotair.com. Boston University students are offered therapy after the recent rulings. Boomer, what is wrong with this generation?
I guess they all need therapy. I mean,
just please, could, start putting Valium in the vending machines on campuses, I guess.
Right.
Trigger alert, life happens.
It's just right there, guys. It's going to happen.
It says the hot takes coming from the media are heavy with doom and gloom vibes because most of them are liberals. The rulings of the Supreme Court of the United States in cases addressing admissions practices at Harvard and University of North Carolina are profoundly disappointing, said Boston University President Robert Brown. Profoundly disappointing. They take us backward, potentially creating less diverse college campuses and a less just America. Brown added that the university would continue to review the decision to better understand what it means for our admissions and academic practices and the changes we may be required to make. And in order for Boston University law students to be able to cope with a Supreme Court that actually follows the Constitution, mental health resources are being made available to them to, quote, help navigate these times. The resources are not specialized counseling for students, but resources that are already available. Okay. So what he's saying is, and if you're having trouble understanding that life happens while we try to figure out how we can possibly run a college without being racist, go get therapy. This is unreal. And I got more of this, y'all. I got a little more. We'll take it after the break, though. So listen, if liberals need therapy, I'm saying things are going right. Just saying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, text lines, still got some more folks texting in. Y'all are welcome to it, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Roughly Ann from Huntsville. Roughly Ann says, it's going to be an extra good fourth if we keep having good, fair, lawful decisions for SCOTUS. Yes, indeed. Pat from Huntsville. 1970, Cameron Bay was like the original 1776. Gunfire, smoke, grenades, and noise. I'm assuming that means Pat was there. So, Pat, thanks for your service. Dustin from Hazel Green, with regards to me calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, he says, excuse me, that's Focahontas to you. I understand. Thank Got you it. Very much. Brian from Huntsville says, happy second anniversary, and thank you all. Beating John to the punch today, he says, A+.
There you go.
We have competing scorecards going on. And then James from Harvest says, I guess he's kind of mixing the two storylines we had so far today. He goes, this generation needs to play with M80s and cherry bombs, LOL.
The snowflakes. Snowflakes with cherry bombs.
Snowflakes and cherry bombs. That's.
I don't know. That wouldn't be a good mixture.
I'm pretty sure they would hurt themselves. All right. Listen, one of the things that really strikes me in the SCOTUS aftermath, which is number one here, the Dipper, what strikes me just so incredibly hard, like smack in the face, is the fact that the liberals are like functionally illiterate when it comes to the Constitution. Like, functionally illiterate. They might be able to read the words, but they cannot discern the meanings. They might be able to read the words, but they cannot apply them. They might be able to read the words of the Constitution, but they have no idea of the actual application, the history, or for that matter, the veracity of the words. So here's a classic example. Jonathan Turley wrote a piece for Fox News. Came out today, actually. He says the decisions of the Supreme Court to end the use of race in college admissions was not unexpected, and yet President Joe Biden expressed outrage and actually claimed the court, how did he word it, gutted the constitutional guarantees that all men and women are created equal. Never mind the fact that what the court did was say equality means stop picking one race over the other. He says the court did away with the constitutional guarantee that all men are created equal. Then let's go ahead and take that a step further. He said, in declaring that the court was not normal, that Biden further insisted these admissions decisions and the Dobbs abortion decision, how's that relate, reverse the gains that we fought a war over in 1860. What? So now the Civil War was about abortion and whether or not we should be racist as opposed to ending racism. But then it gets better. And here's where I talked about being functionally illiterate. In an interview on MSNBC, President Biden accused the court of ignoring, and here's his quote, quote, what the Constitution says. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women are created equal, endowed by the Creator. Except that's not the Constitution. That's the Declaration of Independence. Oh. Yeah, the other document. That's the one I was talking about. The one they weren't making decisions about. That's the one I'm talking about. Anyway, the bottom line is he points out, this is the way it works when liberals don't know what they're talking about, and they will clutch at anything they can to try and make their point, never mind the fact that what they're doing is making a bad faith argument that using race in one category is what's supposed to happen, and then they'll accuse us of being racist because, I mean, take a look at the situation we've got with our redistricting lines in Alabama. You should have been more racist. What do you mean? I mean, you should have considered race in every aspect of drawing those lines. We need more racism in here. Is that the standard now? That's the standard. Oh, okay. And now we're turning around, we're hearing, you can't be racist when you do this with college admissions. The court says we can't be racist now. That's what you're telling us. Yes, but we want more racism. Okay. See, and then Black Lives Matter will burn your building down. But listen, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I'm going to tell you right now, y'all, this is what happens when you elect a know-nothing barista to Congress. I'm just saying. Democrat squad member Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez slammed the U.S. Supreme Court for what she called an abuse of power on Sunday. An abuse of power. Never mind the fact that each justice had the right to make their own decision based upon their, you know, legal acumen and their research and their review and, of course, their own personal beliefs, and then come to a decision and see where the chips fall. Anyway, following the landmark decisions this past week rejecting affirmative action and Biden student loan debt, Ocasio-Cortez proposed impeachment. Don't you dare do your jobs. I'll impeach you. She says, and I believe, frankly, we need to start having conversations about judicial review as a check on the courts. Judicial review is what just happened. That was a Supreme Court. Listen, young lady, you don't have the right as a legislator to say, I intend to intervene in the activities of that other co-equal branch of government. Doesn't work that way. You have the power of the purse. You want to defund them. Good luck. If you want to, legislate something so they can rule a certain way, okay. But when the law is what it is and they interpret it accordingly and they vote, whether it be a 5-4, a 6-3, doesn't matter. When they vote, they have now ruled and that's the law of the land until you, young lady, want to do your job differently. And when you enact a law, then they will have to interpret said law. In the absence of statutory law, they have to rely upon case precedent. In the absence of true case precedent, they may have to set precedent. And then at times, they may have to actually reverse precedent. But in the reality of it, they are a separate co-equal branch of government. And when a young barista who knows nothing about life gets elected to Congress, this is the kind of reaction you get. All right, listen, we're going to wrap this up when we get back because the interesting dynamic I've got right here is that Newsmax has a piece about whether or not these rulings could affect all the DEI movement. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Yeah, we'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, by the way, the text lines remain open. Lots of stuff going on today, thinking about 4th of July being tomorrow. And I've had folks texting in some of their memories and their thoughts about it. And for that matter, you can just go ahead and you can just chime on any topic we're talking about. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I got a brand new texter in the text line. Give us your name and where you're from there, texter. I'm not sure if it's a man, woman, or otherwise, but let me see what we got here. He says, so I'm 71 years old. When I was in my early 30s, married with two small children, went to the bank. Got a loan to go to UAB in Birmingham. Got a degree. Had a fabulous career. Yes, we had to make sacrifices. Work hard over the years of serving healthcare. We had more than we deserved. We trusted our great Lord for what he gave us. It should be the American way, always. Okay, I want to know your name because I'd like to shake your hand while I'm at it. That's, yeah, person who just chimed in there with that text, if you wouldn't mind texting in your first name and where you're from. But absolutely, that's and that's it. Look, y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, when I went to college, I had an Army scholarship. My dad, though, had been saving the majority of my life with savings bonds that were mailed to my grandmother's house. And when it came time for tuition, he would go and get some more savings bonds and cash them in, pay for tuition on whatever wasn't covered by the scholarship. But then on top of that, when I went to law school late in life, it was on me, man. So Charlene and I, we took out a second note on the house. I had a little bit of GI Bill, and I went to school. And I did what it took to go ahead and get that done. And then we spent the time it took to pay that off. And if, I'm just going to tell you, there's a whole lot more satisfaction in knowing that we did a thing, we took a gamble, that we did, we were willing to incur the necessary debt, if that's what it took, to do something meaningful for our family, and then pay it off ourselves. As opposed to, I don't know how to function in life without the government rescuing me. That's what we're seeing right now. In fact, it's going to go straight into my second part of my dippers, equity versus responsibility. There's this overwhelming need by some to say we're from the government and we're here to help, and yet the vast majority of times you see the government stepping in on stuff, they are just bungling it. But let me finish up this part I'm doing right now. The SCOTUS aftermath. Wow. So, yeah, I started to say right before we went to the break that Representative Ocasio-Cortez from New York is exactly what happens when a know-nothing barista is elected to Congress. That's where she is. In her words, she says, this is incredible. She says, these are the types of rulings that signal a dangerous creep toward authoritarianism and centralization of power in the courts. Which, by the way, they said none of this when same-sex marriage and Obamacare decisions came down. None of it. It's only been since the court changed in the last few years that we've begun to see decisions that conservatives can go, praise God. And the liberals are now just like all of a sudden apoplectic. In fact, we have members of the court themselves, she says, saying the court's going to begin assuming the power of a legislature. No, they're not. None of the Supreme Court justices, even the liberal ones, don't say that. Ocasio-Cortez, it goes on to say here in this article from Fox News, has been a strong proponent for court packing and limiting the court's power. In other words, authoritarianism is what she's asking for. Authoritarianism goes and says, if we can't have what we want, we'll change you to make you do what we want. And her last words here, quote, and so I believe if Chief Justice Roberts will not come before Congress for an investigation voluntarily, that we should be considering subpoenas. Subpoenas for what? How dare you do your job? Did you actually think for a second about ruling the other way? Sure I did. And then I waited out and decided no. Well, are you sure you did your job right? That's why I'm here? That's why you subpoenaed me? Come on. Last one I've got here in terms of the liberal freakout before I give you a couple of pieces to think about. Pete Buttigieg, where has he been? He's been off fixing racist roads, I reckon. Pete Buttigieg attacks Christian in the SCOTUS case, saying she only went into a business like that to provoke a case like this. What a chucklehead. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg attacked the Christian web designer who the Supreme Court sided with last week in striking down a Colorado law. So if you remember, one case called 303 Creative versus Elanus. 303 Creative was a case in which a lady who does website design was asked to do a gay marriage website design, and she declined. And they said, well, no, you don't have that option. You shall indeed make a website for a gay marriage. And she said, it's against my beliefs, and I won't. And so what'd they do? Did they go down the street to the next website designer and hire somebody else who was equally capable of doing it but also didn't mind? No. They sued her. All the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. Supreme Court of the United States says, you know what? That's even more than a religious freedom issue. That's also a free speech issue. You're asking her to create something, put her stamp on it, and say, here you go, world, as if she believes it herself. And they said in the 6-3 decision that, nope, we're not doing that. So now Pete Buttigieg, who's gay, is saying that the only reason she did this, that lady, is because she wanted to force the issue. He says, no, there isn't, Buttigieg says, who has no background in education or law. I think it's very revealing. There's no evidence this web designer was ever even approached by someone. Yes, sir, she was. That's why the case began. He says, matter of fact, it appears this web designer only went into the wedding business for the purpose of provoking a case like this. Pete Buttigieg, aren't there some racist roads you could please go fix? Listen, so before we wrap this up, let me just tell you, interesting dynamics are going to spin out of this, all right? There is talk that these decisions you saw last week, and I know I'm kind of geeking out a little bit. As a lawyer, I'm kind of loving the legal application here, but as a policy pundit, I am also loving it. As a conservative policy guy, a former state legislator, an attorney, all of it, I am loving last week's decisions. They were truly what we refer to as landmark decisions, the kinds that students are going to be studying for years to come. And one piece here from the Daily Caller describes last week's series of decisions as being the kind that have reshaped America. So much so that we're going to see trickle-down effects, I think. Newsmax has a story, came out today. You hear about all the DEI, right? DEI in this business, DEI in that college, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. And it says here in this article that last week's ruling on Harvard University and affirmative action, while it may not be directed at employers, that it has the ability now to create the next round of law that could do away with some of the DEI monkey business that we're seeing. Because in his concurring opinion, Justice Gorsuch, who was in the majority, in his concurring opinion, Justice Gorsuch noted that the federal law banning race bias in federally funded programs is essentially identical to the law that prohibits workplace discrimination. Really? The court may be signaling, the article says, that it would apply the same standard to companies' diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, which have been criticized as creating preferences based on race or sex. So we'll see, man. I'm just telling you. Last week, if you geek on Supreme Court stuff like I do, last week was a week and a half crammed into one. It was 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag, man. It was making waves that people can't even surf on. They were so big. I'm telling you, it was the kind of week that people are going to be putting into the horn books to be studied by law students for decades. And right now, just let me just leave you with a couple of quotes on that topic. Because Chief Justice John Roberts, he showed up for these. He did. He showed up for them. And his words on the affirmative action piece, he said, eliminating racial discrimination means eliminating all of it. In other words, don't try and tell me he was being racist. No, what he was saying was, we're getting rid of racism. Justice Clarence Thomas, who was having none of the liberal bias being put out there by his fellow justices, Ketanji Brown Jackson and Sotomayor. He said this, he said, Justice Jackson, by the way, they rarely called each other out by name. That's how significant these opinions were. They rarely swipe at each other in public like this. There's a decorum on that bench of nine. There is. But he said, Justice Jackson would replace the second founder's vision with an organizing principle based on race. In fact, on her view, he says, almost all of life's outcomes must be unhesitatingly ascribed to race. He said, this lore is not and has never been true. Even in the segregated South where I grew up, individuals were not the sum of their skin color. Y'all, liberals' heads are exploding from last week. And I'm going to tell you, if liberals are in need of therapy and melting down on their social media and trying to quote the Declaration of Independence when they really meant the Constitution, it's a good day for conservatism. Just saying. All right, we're going to take a break right now. I'll switch gears when we get back. I got some stuff, man. Equity versus responsibility. Have you ever noticed that the liberal version of trying to help you is to make sure you don't have to be responsible for a daggum thing? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.